Yes, of course. All the big media coverage and TV and all the newspapers, and it's a big event. I mean, Turkey is honored in the biggest book fair in the world. Everybody honored, and it's, as I told you, a great event, and I'm very happy, and we are happy in general, that Turkey is finally represented with its culture.
Do you expect any positive impacts on the situation of Turkish writers inside Turkey?
Yeah, culture is really, culture matters in Turkey. It has always been like this, but there was kind of pressures on culture. But these days it's more or less a little bit better. Culture is important as well as the international relations, because to be the honor guest in Frankfurt Book Fair was very important. And also we are the next year in France, there is Saison de Turquie. And 2010 is cultural capital of Europe. So many things are going on. Of course, it attracts the attention of the common people as well.
Zülfü hat uns seinen neuen Roman mitgebracht, Mutluluk, Glückseligkeit, erschienen im Klett-Cotta Verlag, übersetzt von Gerhard Riemann. Zülfü, you seem to do anything to reach a wide audience. You sing, you compose, you write novels, you write articles in the newspaper Vatan. But now in that case, why is it sometimes better to express yourself in a novel than in a song?
Yeah, mainly I'm a composer, music composer and writer. It has always been like this, but I was known as musician, as composer, a much wider spectrum before my novels. But my novels afterwards, as you know, in Turkey and abroad, made very well. Why am I writing? I mean, because I could reach the masses and the people in all over the world through my music. Why am I writing? Because through music you can exaggerate your feelings and you can pass some feelings, but just feelings. But if you want to analyze the situation or history of your country or create characters and write about it and a situation, with music, I mean, you cannot do it. But I must tell, my music was not far from literature, because my music was always between contemporary poetry, international and national, and the music. It was kind of chansons, which is not so far from literature. But novel form is necessary for me to express my thoughts.
You just said it, for analyzing the society, a novel is maybe a little bit more adequate than a song. Und der Roman Glückseligkeit ist auch in der Tat, das kann man ohne zu übertreiben sagen, ein fast umfassendes Panorama der türkischen Gesellschaft. Im Zentrum steht Meryem, ein 17-jähriges Mädchen. Sie lebt in einem Dorf im tiefen Südosten der Türkei und sie soll einem Ehrenmord zum Opfer fallen. Obwohl sie vergewaltigt worden ist, hat sie dennoch, so glaubt man dort, Schande über die Familie gebracht und soll sterben. Zülfü Bey, in Mutluluk you raise the problem of honor killings. How often does that still happen in Turkey, and does it only happen in the far traditional provincial southeast of the country?
It is. Because when we heard first time, I mean the city people or the rest of the Turkey, rest of, you know, this is experienced unfortunately in southeastern part of Turkey. When we heard these things in the newspapers, we have been shocked, I mean, as you do now in Germans. But so then there was a lot of publications and media consciousness and concentration. The situation is getting a little bit better. And also when I was in parliament, I made a struggle to lift some tolerance to the killers, to the murderers in penal code, because there were kind of tolerance, or let's say understanding to the murderers that they have social pressure, the fathers or elder brothers or something like this. So luckily we lifted up this kind of tolerance and the heavy punishments are given. And I hope one day we'll get rid of this, but this is generally the problem of the Islamic world. Every year 5,000 girls fall victim for this horrible crime. But I'm glad in my book there is no crime. Nobody is murdered, nobody is killed. It's despite dealing with a very heavy matters, it's, as you know, it's kind of a sometimes with satire, sometimes with analyses. It's not the book about murder.
You said it, the murder fortunately doesn't happen, but what is there to be done to prevent such crimes in the name of honor? Is it also a question of education, of opening wider horizons to the people?
Yeah, education is the key word for this. And now this novel, Mutluluk, tried to explain how the victim feels through Meryem. And there was a very successful movie based on this novel, and it could reach a lot of moviegoers. And then the most important thing is through television, it went to all these houses in southeastern Turkey, everywhere, in all Turkish houses. And so, of course, it helps. This kind of creation helps to get to understand what the crime. And there are some organizations called ACEF, Father and Mother and Child Foundation. And also there is an organization in Diyarbakir founded by some women, volunteers, which is Kamer, and they save lives. There are a lot of efforts to get rid of this horrible crime.
Meryem, at the beginning of your novel, is almost a victim, but the young man who is supposed to do the job, to kill her, is in a way a victim himself. This Cemal is just coming home from the war against the Kurds, and he's deeply influenced, basically traumatized by these experiences. How did these things he saw there, he experienced there, change him? And what are, in general, the consequences of this war?
It's a very good observation. Cemal himself as is a victim, because also the third character too. And he's a good guy, he has a good heart. But under these circumstances, he's on the mountains, he makes military service, which is an obligation in Turkey, he has to do. He can't refuse. And there, he has to fight with some Kurdish rebels, and then they kill each other. When the killing starts, even in the civil war, I mean, brother kills brother. And there are some cases in from same family, some people, some youngsters are in the Turkish army, some youngsters are fighting against Turkish army in PKK, and they kill each other. This is very much the case in many countries. I don't see any solution. I mean, these days especially, is the problem is getting worse, because unfortunately, for my understanding, the Turkish governments didn't take the real measures to solve the problems. The military solution is not the solution. I mean, they must have education, economical measures, and accept the cultural identity of Kurds as first-class citizen. So these kind of measures could solve the problem easily, I think. But now it's getting more and more difficult because there is blood now.
When you were a member of parliament yourself, do you have a feeling that there is a consciousness within Turkish politicians that war is not a solution to solve this conflict with the Kurds? Do you think that we went a step ahead, that this consciousness is deeper now inside the minds of politicians?
Unfortunately, I didn't get this impression when I was in the parliament. Parliament in Turkey is not, let's say, independent, because the executive power controls the legislative, which is the parliament. When the government orders something, the majority belongs to this party, and then it goes. Not only for this party, this is valid for every kind of parties and every government, which is, you know, weak democracy. And parliament has no power to say, no, you have a wrong policy for in as far as we understand, I mean, Kurdish matters, so change it. They never dare to say this.
So back to your novel. The victim, Meryem, and the supposedly murderer run away together. The murder doesn't happen. And they go to the west of Turkey, and there we have the other end of your panorama, we have the rural East and we have the modern West. And they run into a very interesting man, a rich professor from Istanbul, who is basically the extreme of the other end of Turkish society. What extremes are running into each other when the three meet in the Aegean Sea?
I wanted to put the three characters coming from different sources, different classes, and different lifestyles in a small boat in Aegean Sea, and to heal each other, because they all three are wounded from the society, and these wounded souls, with this convergence, they heal each other. And I like the idea, because the novel starts from the rural area and come to Aegean Sea, start from east coming to the west, starting in the feudal relations, patriarchal relations, come to modern relations, and especially come from the male domination, comes to female emancipation. These are my dreams for Turkey, and as you said, not Istanbul, but the western part of Turkey are the most modern, and they have different lifestyles. Unfortunately, with the migration, Istanbul is more than 15 million now. With the migration, Istanbul doesn't represent the modern side of Turkey. Okay, some neighborhoods in it, but mostly Istanbul is one of the most Islamic towns in Turkey. But when you say Aegean coast, Izmir, and that region are most modern, this could be the model for Turkey.
You just said it, Turkey has an extreme richness in different cultures, different peoples. We don't only have the Anatolians, we have Kurds, we have Jews, we have Greeks, we have Armenians. There is the Oriental tradition, the Western tradition. What we might see as a richness also causes problems. You yourself said that Turkey, in a way, is polarized, divided. Could you describe this situation? Why is it basically in a negative way?
Unfortunately, we have political divisions now, which wasn't necessary, because in every democracy walks with two legs, or every bird flies with two wings. What is center-right and center-left? We used to have this kind of traditional policy in Turkey, political life. But the military periods, military takeover, especially the one in the 80s, they crashed the political life. They put all the leaders in jail and banned the parties. So since then, we don't have center-right, center-left. So instead of this, we have religious party, we have Kurdish party, and we have nationalist party. So I think to have policies based on right and left are not that dangerous for a country, but to deal with nationalism, to dealing with to provoke regionalism or religion are dangerous. And now, in all my life, on the last 20 years, I write and I desperately shout to get rid of this polarization, which is not good for Turkey. But I hope we can get over.
I think it's important that people know a little bit more about your life, which is also, well, you could write an autobiography. You did it in Turkish. It's not translated yet. This reads a little bit like a novel itself. You left Turkey after the military coup in 71. You've been arrested. You fled Turkey. You lived 11 years in exile, a short time in Germany as well. You returned to Turkey after the third military coup in the 80s. And then you've been politically active through all your life. You've been campaigning with Mikis Theodorakis for Greek-Turkish friendship. And in 2002, you became a member of the parliament with a very old traditional party, CHP, which is Atatürk's old party. But after a short time, you left the party. Why this break in this whole political development? Yeah. Is the life in a party not your cup of tea?
No, and especially that was really big mistake because it was a founding party and progressive party in Turkish Republic, and fought for female rights and also fought for democracy, because CHP created the multi-party regime in Turkey, and for, you know, the modernization, secularism and so on. And especially after 60s, this party became left, and gathering all the left groups, and it was kind of SPD here, it was kind of Social Democrat Party. But then, so that's why I entered. They asked me to be in the parliament with the party. I was never a member of this party because I was more left than this party. But it's a huge party, and then I accepted and I went there. But especially the administration, despite all my discussions and ideas, they wanted to adopt policies against European Union and through nationalism. I criticized it, and with the leaders of the party, and I made a lot of debates, but at the end, in 2 years, I quit, because I was fighting against this Article 301, which was a horrible article for, you know, I was fighting for this, and party was not with me. And I was talking about this Armenian issue, and party was not like me. And kind of amnesty or kind of, you know, more freedom to Kurdish people, party was not like with me. And then one day I had to quit, and I condemned this policy. But I still believe this was the biggest mistake of the administration of the party they did. And we don't have left party anymore. We have religious party and nationalist party. I mean, you cannot choose either one. So then I became independent. This is the approval of my decision.
You said you became independent, and we can see it in all your work and writings. You criticize the opposition for being too nationalistic. Yeah. You criticize the government for being too Islamic. Do you sometimes have the feeling to be between everything, or is it also a sign of your extreme mental freedom that you can express anything?
Yeah, this is important, because I know I'm not together with the governing party. I'm not together with the opposition party, but so I must feel alone, but I don't. Why? Because I have a huge audience. They support me, and I'm together with millions of people. They understand me, because I kind of try to represent the common sense. You don't have to exaggerate religion. Of course, Turkey is an Islamic country. We all have respect to religion and the freedom of religion. Okay, that's all right. I mean, why you push Turkey to Islamic, world? On the other hand, I mean, we are... On the other hand, of course, we are coming from Turkey. We love our country. We love our culture. But why Turkishness? What does it mean? I mean, it's a stupid word to say Turkishness, because we are, you know, after the Ottoman Empire, we are a republic to have different groups, different ethnicities, different beliefs. So we have to cover all. So that's why I try to represent the common sense, and I got wonderful reaction from my people. That's why I have more audience than these parties.
As we can see, some of your fans seem to be here. One thing that maybe we have to explain to our German viewers is that whenever you go with Zülfü through a town or wherever, millions of people gather around him. They shake his hands. They slap his shoulders. How do you explain? You have a lot of criticism in your writings and your songs about your own country, but different to some other people who have strong political opinions, you always stay a man of the people. And you don't seem to have so many oppressions from official sides. How do you explain that?
I criticize harshly sometimes not only the governments, but the military and the society. And I criticize a lot of bad things in the society. But despite my critics, people understand that I have a good will. Why I criticize Turkey? Because I really have deep love for my country and for my culture, and I want to see better Turkey, more civilized Turkey, respect to female rights, respect to human rights. So I want to see Turkey in a very modern, beautiful country. So that's why they feel it. You know, they understand that I'm not have bad manner for my country. So we have love relations.
Ich hoffe, liebe Zuschauer, dass ihr mich jetzt allen in meinem Wunsch unterstützt. Wir können Sülfü natürlich nicht hier haben, ohne dass er wenigstens ein ganz kleines bisschen für uns gesungen hat. Ich muss dazu sagen, das müsst ihr wissen, er ist etwas krank. Aber trotzdem hat er sich bereit erklärt, ein ganz kleines bisschen zu singen, und wir freuen uns sehr.
But I'm seriously ill, you know.
Şimdi arkadaşlar, o zaman siz bana yardım edin. Karlı Kayı'nın bir dizesini ben söyleyeyim, siz tekrar edin.
Now, they are going to help me. Because in my concerts, always audience sing, not I sing. And now we are going to repeat, we are going to have one, the poem by Nazım Hikmet, which I composed in 78. This song became kind of national anthem for all Turkish youth and the Turkish people. Karlı Kayı in a beech wood, snowy white. I'm very ill. Karlı Kayı'nın ormanında yürüyorum geceleyin.
Karlı Kayı'nın ormanında yürüyorum geceleyin.
Efkarlıyım, efkarlıyım, elini ver nerede elin. Şu sılanın ufak tefek yolları ağrıdan sızıdan tutmaz elleri. Tepeden tırnağa şiir gülleri. Tepeden tırnağa şiir gülleri. İdim aslanım, burada yatıyor.
Danke, dass Sie hier waren. Tausend Dank. Çok teşekkür ederim.
Ben teşekkür ederim.